Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Mean Girls. Yesterday was Mean Girls Day. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again from Pandemia. It's Sunday, October 4th. 2020, and my guests today, in alphabetical order, are Steve Byrne, Bria Grant, and Jessica McKenna. Hello!
Hi!
Hello!
Hello, everybody. Let's meet them individually, shall we? Starting with half. Would you call yourself half of the Off Book podcast?
Yeah, that seems fair. It takes more than two to make it, but I think half of the vibe of the podcast feels right.
You're in the main two.
Yeah, that's right.
Top two members of Off Book Podcast. It's Jessica McKenna, everybody.
Hi.
I got one movie related. Actually, it's not a movie. It's a TV show question, but it involves acting, which you do. you played Nurse Tammy on an episode of Modern Family.
Ooh, boy, did I.
How was that? What does Nurse Tammy do in that episode?
She doesn't do a ton, but she does have to stay in the shot. She, I think, has three or four lines, but because of the way that they shoot, I mean, it was a really efficient shooting process. I was like, wow, this is such a well-oiled machine. I kept being apologized to for running behind schedule because it was raining that day, and Los Angeles doesn't know how to deal with rain. And I was like, this is the most efficient set I've ever been on. And yet everyone was like, we're so sorry you had to wait for 20 minutes. But they shoot like so efficiently and quickly and with that like mockumentary style that I was just in the back. And I just had to like self look busy, like unclear of how many props I could touch. But it was great. Otherwise, it's a day where the oldest daughter of the Phil Dunphy crew. Man, I only watched like season one of that show, but she's in the hospital and she has like a bunch of ex-boyfriends coming in. But it was very fun and intimidating to be like, okay, I'll just stay in the back of this shot and look like a nurse.
Yeah, just hang out over here, Nurse Tammy.
Yeah, I'll just touch a bunch of things and look at a chart.
I love that. I love like I'll watch the extras in the background sometimes because in real life, people do not carry around and look through charts nearly as much as they do in the background in movies and TV. Would you say that you had on that show, you had a 12-hour shift? Because yeah, also joining us, just a segue, also joining us.
I loved it.
It's great.
Is the writer director of a movie that is out right now called 12 Hour Shift. It's Bria Grant, everybody.
Thank you for having me. Hi. You know what my favorite thing is about people in background people is during dance scenes, like big dance, like, you know, like proms and stuff like that, because I know for a fact there's no music playing, but all the background extras are having to dance and like find a rhythm to no music. And it's my favorite thing to look out for.
Yeah, that's super fun. Plus also they think that like, oh, you know, we should mouth that we're having conversations, but they often don't do it like there's loud music playing. So they're like, look like they're talking softly.
Yeah, and yeah. The music or at the blaring. Same time and no one talks at the same time. Like there's just so many like, yeah, it's fun. And especially an independent film, watching the background, which you know is just somebody's mom or something, is the best.
Yeah, it's all like favors that have been called in. And they're not even people that aspire to be extras, you know, they're just
totally
they're just there. And but you've written and directed this movie that's out right now, and but you don't act in it at all, or do you make a cameo?
Correct. I don't act in it at all. I needed a voice for a TV in the background, and I used my own voice because I was in editing and we threw it in there and then we never changed it. But other than that, I'm just the director and the writer. That's enough, isn't it?
Oh yeah. No, it's probably too much. I just it's just always interesting whenever a someone who's done a lot of acting transitions into behind the camera, you know, sometimes they put themselves in it. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they give themselves a small part, you know, just varies.
Yeah.
But I like knowing that your voice is in there. So when I watch it, I'm going to listen for that. And I might even contact IMDb because I love when they list uncredited performances.
Oh, that would be really good. It's I think that my name, if you listen really hard, I think I say, this is Tammy with the weather. So that's a weird connection that we have. Two people playing characters named Tammy's in the background.
Two Tammy's. Oh my gosh.
So, Bria, what's the short description of 12-hour shift?
It's about a couple of nurses who sell organs on the black market in the year of 1999, and things go wrong, and it turns into kind of a black comedy heists movie all over the course of one 12-hour shift.
I think I love it already. And is one of the nurses named Tammy by any chance?
It's not, unfortunately, and what a bummer. We have a Karen, though, who's really fun.
Oh, okay, that's good. Name. That's great timing that you managed to get a work a Karen in there.
Listen, I shot this movie a year and a half ago before we'd ever heard of a Karen or a pandemic or applauded our frontline workers. So this is, it's quite a time for this movie to come out.
Yeah, it really is fell in line quite nicely with what's going on. And I had one movie question for you, because you have played an uncredited role in a big movie. Junkie Girl in Max Payne?
I literally had no idea what you were about to say. I kind of forgot that existed. I forgot that movie existed, honestly. I did play her. The opening of the movie, they reshot the opening of the movie, and I think I was on Heroes at the time, and I knew the casting director or something, and they called me in. They're like, will you play this role? And is the plot of Max Payne drug related? Is there like a special drug in Max Payne? I can't remember.
I think so. I think that's part of what they're, you know, after whatever the plot, it has something to do with some, you know, fancy drug that does something weird.
Yeah. And I think I'd do the drug at the beginning. That's all I got. That's all I remember.
That's plenty. I just love that stuff. And that you know, weren't even sure what I was going to bring up. I got one of those for our next guest. Hey, Steve Byrne.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I was, I just followed the other talent on the on the game show today. So I'm excited to work with everybody today.
Wow.
What?
On Instagram you followed us?
I followed you on Instagram, and then Jessica I followed on Twitter, because I don't think you're on Twitter, Bria, right?
So I left that trash fire. I didn't.
And I can't wait to let you guys know offline about my new podcast called Two Tammies. So hopefully we can all just go on again together, you know?
Oh my gosh, God bless you. I'm a terrible Twitter follow, but I'll take it anyway. Okay. I have similarly, basically, that's just a husk of my former Twitter self. Sorry, this is Steve's moment, not my husk
show.
Twitter
just
moment.
No, we're all here together. It's fine.
Yeah, we are. We're all here together separately. And Steve is the writer-director of a new film that I believe people could start watching mid-October on the 16th, called The Opening Act.
Yes, it's called Opening Act.
All of that was correct, I think.
All of that was correct. It comes out the 16th of October. Yes, Douglas.
And you're a stand-up, longtime stand-up, and
yes,
now a filmmaker. You made a documentary about the amazing Jonathan called Always Amazing.
Yes.
And now you went on to make a a fiction movie about comedy, about stand-up comedy.
Yeah, semi-autobiographical about, you know, I think we all have that moment where you're whatever you are, whether you're an actor or actress, musician, stand-up, you take the plunge, right? You have, I guess, the job that you're supposed to have, and then you can't stop thinking about whatever it is you want to be doing. And this whole film is about a kid that's in that situation and his very first time ever on the road. So the whole film takes place over 4 days. I was originally going to call it four 1 hour shifts, but then I saw a 12 hour shift out there and I said, scrap it. So it's the opening act, and it's semi-autobiographical. All the things that happened to me over 23 years have been placed in this film. So it's fish out of water. You'll get to see what it's like to be on the road as a comic, what the light is, getting the intros right, the managers, the nothing good happens after midnight when you party with the feature act, and then warming up to the, you know, the kind of haggard veteran of the road. So it's all there, and you get to see all three echelons, MC, feature, and headliner. And it was a lot of fun to get to do, but I think, as Bria can probably attest, it was the most all-encompassing occupation I've ever had in my life. And I've never done a triathlon, but I would assume it might be something like that, where it's just taking every fiber of your existence and trying to, you know, do the best job you can on a daily basis.
Yeah, you reached out to me during the filming.
Correct.
And I'm sad that it didn't work out, but it was very nice of you to ask me to play a part in the film.
Yeah, that was the fun part of, like, you know, because every comic knows what happens over the course of the weekend. So it was, when it came time to cast up, it was like, well, let me just pick up the phone. And the casting director didn't really have to. I think she just got to check the fucking thing. Because I cast the whole goddamn thing, most of myself. So I was pretty happy with that. But I think it's definitely the best film about stand-up. I'm not trying to just say that, but it's
an
authentic film about stand-up. And I watched them all, even as I'm in the edit, and I'm like, I think we got it right. And the more I keep hearing stuff from comics that have seen it, the more I think we're on that path. So I don't mean to be Oasis or Noel Gallagher, but I do feel pretty confident in it.
I would say my movie is the best movie about nurses selling organs on the black.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was going to jump in and say it's the best organ heist movie out there ever made. The most accurate.
Definitely.
Well, that sounds terrific. And it's going to be, where are the formats people can see that on October 16th?
Theaters, drive-ins, VOD, Apple, you know, iTunes, Amazon, all that stuff. But I think before you do it, you got to see the 12-hour shift for sure.
Right. Well, they've got everybody's got a week or so to do that.
Yes.
And then see your movie. I demand the listeners of Doug Loves Movies, you know, listen to or watch, you know, the work of all of my guests. And so you got a lot. You got a lot of work to do now. You got to go back and watch every episode of Sullivan and Sons. you got to watch Payne. All of Dexter and all of Heroes.
Yeah, please, please. You won't understand my art unless you do that.
And listen to every episode of Off Book Podcast. It's the number one podcast I would listen to if I listened to podcasts.
Oh, thank you. Please listen to over 100 made up musicals where many involve a bear.
I fell in love with the show when I saw it live, and I really have, listened to a few episodes it's so much fun. And I've also, asked you to come on Douglas Movies and improvise songs on there as well. And you're a good sport about that. But I in this new Zoom version, I feel really silly trying to get a musical number going.
It's pretty daunting. Yeah, we've tried five or seven different versions of online hosting to get it as close as we can, but it basically just does involve us singing still with latency, and it's really crazy. But thank you so much, Doug. That's so nice.
Thank you all for being here. Let's play some games. This first game is a new one that I just came up with. It's called Title Character and the Something Something Something. And basically, it's a play on the fact that there's a lot of movies out there where the title is a character's name and then some more information. You know, the best example of that would probably be Indiana Jones and the, several things that he got mixed up in. So I'm going to go to each of you one at a time. We'll play alphabetically. So I'm going to go to Steve first. I'm going to say a made-up title for a movie that follows that format. And based on the information in that title, you have to guess what movie I'm talking about.
Got it. Okay.
And if you miss, then it moves on to Bria, gets to go second. And then Jess, if she misses, you each get a shot at it if the people before you miss.
Cool.
And we proceed like that with a bunch of them until we have a winner. Steve?
Yes.
What movie could also be called Detective Loki and the Vigilante Dad?
Oh, Thor Ragnarok?
Just Steve. What'd you say?
Oh, no. Thor in the Dark World.
Thor the Dark World. So in those movies, Loki is a detective?
Oh, fuck. Bria, have fun.
This is, I feel like there's always a point where, like, Doug, I listen to your show, and there's always a point where someone goes, I know anything about movies, and I feel like this is my moment to that.
Part of the fun.
Okay,
the second game we're going to play today, the less you know is almost the better. But in this particular one, I think this is a tough one. Let's start off with a tough one. You don't have a guess, Bria?
Well, Loki is a detective. Was he kind of a detective in like,
Oh shit. Can I say it now?
No.
Oh.
Don't worry,
my
Steve.
Ear. I had no freaking idea. I don't know.
That's okay. What about you, Jess? Do you have an idea?
Steve, it's going to come around the bend. I'm going to go with Ragnarok. Yep. I'm going to go with Ragnarok. Just as a shout out to Goldblum's blue eyeliner.
I love that movie, but that's not the right answer. The whole Loki thing threw everybody off. Steve, it's not worth a point, but do you still want to guess?
No, because I fucked up because I thought it was the Snowman, that detective movie, but that's the guy from X-Men, not I'm an idiot. Sorry.
Now, Detective Loki is a character played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and the vigilante dad is Hugh Jackman, and the movie's called Prisoners.
Prisoners. Damn it. Okay.
Wow. That's a tough one out of the gate. The next one should be easier.
This is the hardest game I've ever played. That was insane.
This next one starts with Steve, and maybe it ends with Steve.
Okay.
Sugarcane Kowalczyk and the Transvestite Train.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It doesn't star Eddie Murphy? Oh God, this is Sugarcane Kowalski. You said?
Kowalczyk.
Sugarcane Kowalczyk. Oh my God. I'm gonna have to pass. I apologize.
That's okay. I would love to see more of that on TV game shows. Apologies to the host. I just don't know it. I apologize, Alex. Bria, do you have an idea?
Okay, say it again.
Sugarcane Kowalczyk and the Transvestite Train. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be accurate with that. I'm not trying to be insulting to anyone.
is it like Silence of the Lambs or something?
That one is pretty insulting to some people.
I went with what am I feared? I don't know. What is it?
Jess, do you have an idea?
No, absolutely not. just to Steve's polite pass, I'm just going to do the most basic thing I can and reference Great British Bake Off, where when a contestant was eliminated, the first thing they said was, thank you. And I feel like that really encapsulates my feeling of watching that show. No clue. Murder on the Orient Express?
A terrific guess, because that, of course, does have a train in it, and there are a lot of people in women's clothing. I don't know which ones are. I think they're all actually women, the ones in women's clothing in that movie. But in a movie where two guys are trying to escape from gangsters, so they join an all-girl band and go on the road.
Some Like It Hot?
Some Like It Hot.
Oh, man.
Yeah, nice. People don't remember that her name is Sugar Cane in that movie.
I didn't remember that at all.
Marilyn Monroe, I should say. Yeah. All right, they are going to get easier, I swear.
Okay.
Steve, are you ready?
I am ready.
Another Steve. It's Steve Stifler and his dessert-dicking friend.
American Pie.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
Good job.
Okay. Why do we start with that one?
I wanted to give everybody a chance to show off.
Gotcha. Okay.
Starting with a difficult one. But now this means that Bria gets to go first in this next one. And it goes like this. You might be able to put this together even without recognizing the name.
Okay.
It's Flipper Purify and the Interracial Affair.
The Interracial Affair. The Bodyguard?
Great guess, because that does happen in that film.
I feel like, okay. Is it, I can't guess again. I was going to keep going.
What's the first part again? Flipper Purify?
Flipper Purify or Purify. I was surprised by that, to be honest.
Man, all I can think of is a Brita. boy. Yeah. Nope. I got nothing. Brita filter and something that shouldn't be a big deal.
That sounds like a good movie.
Thank you so much.
Steve.
Douglas, with a tsunami of respect, I apologize. I'm going to say I'm a goose egg here on this one.
The Interracial Affair is even in the title, essentially.
Jungle Fever?
Spike Lee's Jungle Fever.
Damn it.
Wow. I could see that case. I could see like the VHS case, and it wasn't coming into my brain what the name of that was. What is Flipper Purify?
I don't know what's going on there. I mean, just that his first name is Flipper. I mean, I guess maybe it turns out to be a nickname or so. I hope. I don't know who would name their child at birth Flipper.
That's Wesley Snipes' name in the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Wild.
Yeah, that surprised me. I feel like they don't say it out loud in the movie much. All right, this next one. This one's real wacky. We're back to Bria gets to go first.
Okay. I'm ready.
Santanico Pandemonium and the Striptease of Death.
Okay. Well, it's probably not Striptease because you wouldn't have put that in the title. What is the Gina Gershon movie with the dancers from them?
Showgirls?
Yeah, is it Showgirls? That one? Is it Showgirls?
No, I don't think Nomi Malone's name was Santanico Pandemonium.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Nomi Malone. I should have remembered that. All right.
Okay. Santanico. One more time?
Santanico Pandemonium.
I think anybody should get points for spelling I can't even say it like a spelling bee. This is crazy.
I'm just going to Striptease of Death. I'm just going to shout out a movie I've recently rewatched the trailer of and was really shocked by, Bedazzled. Just going to throw some attention towards Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, and Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Hurl some attention hurl way. That's incorrect.
Yeah, definitely.
Steve? I know this is going to be wrong, but True Lies.
Oh, because Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't dance? I don't think anybody dies when she does her striptease, though.
Yeah, that has been burned into the hard drive since eighth grade, so.
Santanico Pandemonium is Selma Hayek
in
her first film role in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Cool.
See, when I was coming up with these, I was like, well, how many movies, you know, could these be mistaken for?
Yeah.
And that's the trouble with this game, I think, is it's not like you come up with other answers. You just really have to think of the thing. But this next one, I think somebody's going to get it. We'll start with Bria again.
Okay.
Egon Spengler and the Bad Business Plan.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
That is correct.
Okay, great.
Back in business, baby.
All right. Wow. Wow.
Wow. That was great.
Yeah. So now I know what to do, I think, for this game in the future. But for now, we've got to do one quick tiebreaker. Sorry, Jessica, it's between Bria and Steve.
Thank you.
don't leave, though. Don't leave after you say thank
you. No, that's okay. Thank you.
All right. So between Bria and Steve, first one to tell me the correct answer, because you should, one or both of you should know this just based on my fake title. Ready?
Okay.
Wayne Szalinski and the Bug-Sized Babies.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
That is correct.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about old Rick Moranis lately. Yeah.
I think that's why I remember, you know, I just, his name just popped into my head, the name of his character, Wayne Szalinski, because I couldn't tell you much else about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids other than his name and that a bunch of kids get shrunk.
There's ants. Are there ants in there? They have to fight
or
something?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different big bugs. You know, the grass is real big, of course. Like the lawnmower is an issue. So is the dog and a cat, probably.
Yeah, your general like shrinking issues.
They go through the spectrum. But my favorite in the series is Honey, I Blew Up the Baby, because first of all, it doesn't sound like you made the baby large. It makes it sound like you really just exploded the baby. But then also just a giant baby running around. I can watch that all day. But congratulations to Bria for winning that game.
Wow.
And that means you get to go first in our second and final game of the day, which we will play right after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and we are ready to play this game. People love it. Bria says that you mentioned that you have listened to the show. Are you familiar with the game Weird Algorithm?
I am, and I think it is really spectacular.
It's so messed up. I'll explain to Steve and Jessica. Basically, on the IMDb website, the Internet Movie Database, database if you are a Star Trek fan, and they list the cast of every project in billing order, but you can click on a thing now to refine the list and change it to IMDb's basically their decision of what order that cast should be placed in based on popularity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's very strange. I wouldn't be surprised if, if you looked up Max Payne, I bet you, Bria, I bet you're pretty high up there on the list.
Oh, yeah,
Even though you're an uncredited junkie.
No Mark Wahlberg, but I feel like I'd be up there somewhere.
Yeah, but that's the thing is like you probably have some real good juice going right now from, doing press for your movie and stuff.
Right.
So the idea is it's a fairly unpredictable algorithm. The only thing I can say to focus on is if somebody's like been in the news that's from a particular movie. So it could be somebody with a really small part, could be towards the top of the list just because they're in the news. So I'll name a movie and then each one of you gets a chance to guess the name of one person from that movie you think would be the top billed person. If you're right, you get 3 points. If you get the second billed person, it's 2, and third billed is 1 point. No points for anything after that. And, and we'll switch the order around so everybody gets a chance to go first.
Great.
Any questions?
Ready to rock.
That's not a question, Steve.
Sorry. He meant thank you.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
As a question. Yeah, that was my question.
Do you have a question? Am I ready to rock? All right. So like I said, Bria gets to go first this time.
Oh, cool. I get to go first? Okay.
Bria does. You get to discuss your answers too, because you can share answers. That's a key thing, is you can glom onto somebody else's answer if you think it's the right one. The film is Casper. It's just the one word, but he's often referred to as the friendly ghost.
This would be the 1990s era or 80s or something, Casper?
I think, yeah. I should have wrote down the year, but they haven't rebooted it since. This is the one where Casper appears before a girl played by Christina Ricci.
Which I feel like Christina Ricci is going to be my person, but I can't remember like who plays the parents in that. Do y'all remember? Because is any?
Yeah. Are we? So we can discuss right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Bill Pullman is the dad.
Oh shit.
And okay, she doesn't have. And she doesn't. No. There's no mom in it. A classic princess move. Casper is, I think, maybe not voiced by, but when he becomes a real boy for a moment at the end, is Devon Sawa. And the tricky part is there are three boisterous uncles, and I'm not sure who they're voiced by, but they could be voiced by someone who's currently significant.
Wait, you don't know the voice of Fatso? Why'd you even get out of bed this morning?
I know. Bless her.
The fact that she remembered Devon Sawa is in it. Like,
I'm impressed. I'm impressed by this rundown in general.
This was a big moment for me. I remember seeing this movie with my friend Amanda and her mom, and we were like, oh my gosh, Devon Sawa is so cute.
I felt the same, but I forgot that it was him for a moment. I've blocked that out, but I also thought he was really cute, and I may or may not have tried to write him a fan letter after this movie, I'm remembering correctly. Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. So my only guess,
do you think your fan letter got to its final destination?
Thank you. Well, that would be my pitch for why maybe Sawa could be in the top is, like, I feel like 'tis final destination season. And I also think he has a slight bit of social media activity. But yeah, I mean, Christina Ricci is also, I think, a good guess.
It's also her season too.
It is. Tis her, yeah, and plus Wednesday. Yeah, tis also her season.
And here's the thing: always Bill Pullman season.
Well,
it's evergreen.
Do you watch the Sinner?
No, is that a TV show?
Yeah, that's the first season was Jessica Biel, and the second season somebody else. But Bill Pullman's character is in both seasons.
Oh, no. Okay.
And Bill Pullman plays, he's like a detective, but he likes having his, I think he likes, he's got a, having his feet crushed fetish.
Rushed. Wow.
Something with having terrible stuff done to his feet. So that was a hard show for me. I didn't get through the first season. not that I'm extra sensitive in the feet area. I just don't think that feet need to be messed with. At all.
They don't require crushing.
I don't need sexy feet. I don't need squashed feet.
Just where do you stand on sandals? How do you feel about open toed sandals?
Oh, the worst.
Wow. Okay.
It doesn't bother me that much, but I don't like wearing sandals. I don't like it has to be that one big thing between your big toe and the next one.
Yeah.
I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling that all day long.
Yeah.
Great story. Steve?
I've never seen Casper.
Well, he's a ghost. Do you think we've all seen him?
I meant the movie, Doug. And I just don't know who Devon Sawa is, but I'm sure he's very talented. I wish I could help out more here. I apologize.
Well, it's not a matter of helping out. You just have to pick somebody. You can choose from all the people that have been mentioned so far since you can't think of anybody else. Christina Ricci's the girl. Devon Sawa's eventually Casper. Bill Pullman's her dad. Do any of those seem like they would be number one to you?
I would piggyback off what Jessica said and think maybe Devon Sawa's number one.
Okay, so you're locking into Devon Sawa.
And then
Bria, who do you want to lock in on?
Yeah.
I'm going to lock in on Christina Ricci. I feel like her longevity has really solidified her as a pop culture icon.
And Jessica?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Sawa for the upset.
All right, so we got two Sawas and a Ricci.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, and it's... I couldn't have picked a better first example for people who haven't played this game before, because it just is weird how it shakes out. I listed all the way to number 8 because those were all names I recognized. The voice of Fatso is Brad Garrett. So he got number 8, but none of the other voices of the ghosts made it, the uncles. So I don't even remember who they were. But in number seven, in a Ghostbusters-themed cameo, is Dan Aykroyd.
Whoa.
Six is Amy Brenneman. Is she the wife to this? Does Christina Ricci have a dead mother? Is that what happens?
Yes. 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 That's ringing the bells.
Sorry, bad news for two of you. Devin Sawa came in at fifth.
Dang. Sorry,
wow.
Steve.
Yeah.
Number four, wow. Bill Pullman.
Wow, only number four.
Yeah, because the number three is what we call a regrettable cameo. Because it is Mr. Mel Gibson.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow, I do not remember that. Wow.
Yeah. And then coming in at number two, Christina Ricci. So that's 2 points.
Oh, wow.
For Bria. And number one, again, probably a cameo that the filmmakers might be like, well, that's not really standing the test of time. Clint Eastwood.
No way.
Weird.
Yeah, there's like, I remember it. There's some weird fantasy she's having, like Casper's turning into different celebrities for a couple seconds each.
Yes, yes.
And they got right? some actual actors to do that. They didn't.
Yeah. Like, wow. I mean, it's all people that were probably making some other movie for Warner Brothers at the time. I know Clint Eastwood's been, that's been his studio for most of his career. Okay. So they probably just, you know. Called in a favor.
Yes, I think it was like a true ripoff of the genie moment where Casper acts a lot like the genie and morphs into different celebrities. Wow.
Yes. Doug, I'll tell you.
Rodney Dangerfield, I think, is another
yes,
one.
I remember that now that you're putting it back in my brain.
When we were filming Sullivan and Son, we were on the Warner's lot and, you know, it was Roy Wood Jr. and Ahmed and Owen Benjamin and myself and we would go out outside of the soundstage and we would throw a football to each other to just break up the day and get some sunshine. And Owen Benjamin could launch a football, no joke, 80 yards. And there was one day he threw this football. It was a total bomb. And coming around the corner was Clint Eastwood. And Owen missed Clint Eastwood. I am not joking by 6 inches with this bomb of a football. And he literally almost killed Clint Eastwood, which would have been the second worst thing Owen's done since he's gone crazy. So,
I thought you were going to say that he caught the football.
I personally was angling for a Jan Brady moment. No, where, you know, Jan Brady is the one who ate. No, wait, Marsha. Marsha gets her nose broken, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Marsha gets it.
Marsha.
That'd be so funny. Clint Eastwood, oh, my nose.
Yeah.
my nose. Okay, Bria has 2 points. We got through the Casper round. Now, Jess gets to go first in this next one. And sticking with a theme, the motion picture called Ghost.
Great. Ooh. Okay, I am ashamed to admit that I've never seen Ghost.
It happens. Some people don't get around to it.
Yeah, you know, it just sort of slipped on through. Okay, so we got Demi Moore, we got Whoopi Goldberg, and we got Patrick Swayze, and that's, I think, as far as I know. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's as far as I know. So I'll probably play it safe after learning from last round and probably go with either Whoopi or Demi and learn from the Christina Ricci rule that they'll probably still be up in the tops. Maybe probably not the top spot, but that way I can get on the board. So I'll probably just try to get strategic here.
I love it.
I'm going to let discussion keep going for now.
This is good logic.
Thank you.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I saw it. Once when I was a kid, I cried. I never went back to it because the emotional toll was too heavy. Much like Joker, it's a film I'll only see once. I'll go Whoopi 1, Demi Moore 2, Swayze 3.
Wow. You're slotting them in. That's what you're guessing.
You're like betting on racehorses or something.
Yeah.
You went win, place, and show.
Well, the Korean side of me took over and just wanted to throw money down on all of them. So I know that there's a cameo in there or somebody in there that's higher up. I just wish I remembered.
It is a, it's not a, even though it's got some comedic stuff in there because of Whoopi, it's a, it's an emotional experience. And then, you know, Patrick Swayze passing, you know, earlier than anyone would want, makes it even, you know, a more unusual experience.
Yeah.
I think of that movie every time I see a penny going up a wall, and what I should be thinking is, oh my God, there's a ghost in here. what do you think, Bria?
My initial inclination was Whoopi, and I think I'll probably stick with that because she's on TV. Is she still on TV every day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. That seems like would be keeping her up there.
She's still on The View.
Mm-hmm. She's on The View. Yeah, that's what I meant. She's on The View.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Yes, she is.
Okay.
She's there to be the opposite of Meghan McCain in every way imaginable.
Right, right.
Short of just being, I guess a man would be more opposite, but.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Whoopi because I also don't remember this movie well enough to name anybody else except those people. I'm sure there's somebody else famous.
She won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for it.
Yeah, that's true. And again, the test of time, I feel like. Although, you know, I've been watching Brave New World. Have you watched Brave New World on Peacock?
No.
No.
Well, Demi is in it and she's great. It's a bunch of British people and Demi Moore, and she's amazing. I mean, they're also good, but she's the only like American on it. Anyway,
It's
based on the book, but like set in the future from now, if that makes sense.
I think it does because the book is old, so the future in the book was probably like, you know,
like 50 years ago,
10 years, 20 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like set in the future where you have like no privacy and no monogamy. And, but then there's like the outlaws that still do that kind of stuff and still believe in privacy. And she's one of them. Anyway, I'm still going to go with Whoopi in spite of all of that.
Okay. All right. So Bria's locked in for Whoopi. Jess, are you locked in for anybody?
I think I'm going to lock in for Whoopi. I just feel, I feel confident she'll be up there.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go the same thing. Whoopi. And I would say Demi Moore, number two.
But you're going Whoopi Goldberg, number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Coming in at number seven, I assume because he appears on a television, probably in Whoopi's home, Arsenio Hall.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. Number six, sorry to say this, makes all of you wrong, is Whoopi Goldberg.
Wow, number six.
Yeah, number five is a man who I think is a terrific actor. He plays Milton in Office Space, but I don't recall what he does in Ghost, the very good Stephen Root.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's in
Ghost. Yeah, and then four is Tony Goldwyn. Who plays like he's the bad guy essentially of the story.
Yeah.
He went on to be, I guess he was on Scandal.
Yeah, he's really good in Scandal.
Yeah. Number three, the late great Patrick Swayze.
Mm.
Number two, this one I cannot figure out why this would happen. Number two is, does anyone know who Vincent Schiavelli is?
No.
He's that really tall guy with the like, you know, kind of sunken face. He always plays weird characters, and he passed away, but he is best known maybe as the teacher that takes all the kids in Fast Times to go see an autopsy.
Oh yeah, that and, guy.
Yeah, and he says, you know, hey, go easy on me today. I switched to Sanka.
Did he pass away recently?
Yeah, not too long ago, but not recently enough to make him number two on this list. I don't know what he plays, a scary subway ghost in the movie. One of the reasons that Steve Byrne won't see it again.
Yeah.
And but yeah, coming in at number one, and probably because of the Brave New World thing, is Demi Moore.
Oh, way to go, Demi!
I should have gone with what I knew there.
Yeah. It's a there's some real tough twists and turns in this game.
Also, she is like, you know, we've already talked about one of her other movies since we started this show less than 1 hour ago. So it really, she's a star.
She really is. And that show sounds, I think it sounds great, but I'm also like, how many shows can I watch concurrently where it's just bleak and horrible and, yeah, you know, and the current or near future, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But I do. Yeah, this was a little less bleak, weirdly, than like, it's not a Handmaid's Tale situation. That's, you're not like walking into like, you know.
I don't need anything that's as rough as Handmaid's Tale. It's just like it stops being entertainment for me when with that much you know, villainy and oppression.
yeah, it's rough. It's a rough show to watch.
Well, Doug, don't watch the news.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so every night I watch the news, they have cliffhangers. You got to tune in again the next night.
That's right, yeah.
And it's all so scary. But speaking of scary, the third title and the final title in this game, which means Steve gets to go first this time, is the original Scream.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Scream 1. They just announced they're going to go all the way to Scream 5.
Okay. I'm going to go Drew Barrymore then with my number one.
Mm. Oh, Drew Barrymore, who passes away before the opening title sequence.
Yes, because she just had a show come out, I think, a talk show.
You're saying her daytime talk show would make her popular right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say her number one. And I would say Courtney Cox my number two.
Her scene in Scream is you know, one of the better horror movie scenes ever.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of the movie kind of pales in comparison to it. It's, like, really the best part.
Yeah. And also, they, like, didn't they, in the marketing, she was on, like, posters.
Yeah. So, no, they did a real...
So smart.
They did a real Janet Leigh with her, where they, like, didn't let it out that she was going to die right away.
Yeah, that's good. That's very smart.
I'm sorry to anybody who we're spoiling this for, who hasn't got around to watching a Scream movie. What do you think? Who's up next? Maria?
Well, so David Arquette is in my movie in 12 Hour Shift, to plug 12 Hour Shift again.
So, you're saying you got to be a team player and go David?
I think I have to. You know, he's a team player for me. He produced and acted in my movie. I feel like I gotta go David Arquette.
Do you use him as somewhat a comic relief, or is he more, is his character straighter in this one?
He's like, he's only in the movie for a little bit. He's a tough guy. He's kind of like he's a prisoner who tries to commit suicide and ends up in the hospital, and then it keeps trying to escape, and it throws the heist off. And so he's kind of like this, like monkey wrench in their plan.
Yeah.
He's kind of a tough guy, but he says some funny stuff because he improvised and said some funny stuff. Yeah. And it was real good. Yeah.
It's hard for him not to be funny. He's a very amusing guy.
Yeah.
Try to get him on this show. So if you could tell him, I'd appreciate it.
I'll let him know. I'm gonna go with I'm team Arquette all the way.
Okay, that's, I like that. I appreciate that. What do you think, Jess?
Okay, so we got Jamie Kennedy, we got Matthew Lillard, we got Nev Campbell,
Matthew Lillard, is that his last name?
Yeah, Matthew Lillard,
yeah.
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Right.
Ooh, and don't forget about Rose McGowan.
Oh, Rose, that's right, yeah.
Isn't she? Yeah. Yeah, that's a really, she's in the news a lot, you know?
Whoa.
Yeah, and she gets murdered really, really brutally in that movie.
Yeah, with the garage door situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oof, oof. Wow. Oh gosh, tough. Maybe I'm going to go Rose McGowan.
Okay.
I like the Drew Barrymore thought, and she was also lampooned on SNL last night. I don't know how recently this
that was. Chloe Fineman nailed the Drew Barrymore impression.
Yeah, she did.
That was so good.
So good. I also love that they just like gave her that like a one person sketch because she did all of the other impressions as well.
Yeah.
It was like her with herself. I'm going to go with Rose McGowan. That seems okay. I got to swing for it.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Drew Barrymore. I think that's my number one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So we got Drew Barrymore, David Arquette, and Rose McGowan.
Right.
Yep.
All right.
Correct.
I'm sorry to say this, and please tell him to not listen to this episode. I was shocked by this coming in at number nine in that cast. And he's above a lot of other pretty well-known people too, is David Arquette.
That is cast. I mean, what can you say? You
like know? He's like Jamie Kennedy's like a few notches behind him. Number eight, Skeet Ulrich.
Oh my God. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The Skeeter. And then number seven is Liev Schreiber's in the first Scream, I guess.
Holy
right.
shit, I forgot
That's
about
right.
that. Wow.
Yeah, he plays like, isn't he? He's got like, his name's like Cotton or something.
Yeah, Cotton.
Yeah.
What a cast already.
And then, yeah, well, the cast is amazing. So it's no insult to not be in the top two or three, but it's still pretty crazy how number six is Matthew Lillard. And then, I don't know why I didn't write down number five for some reason, but now Rose McGowan comes in at four, unfortunately.
Dang.
Sorry, I led you astray.
No. I had to make, had to make a bigger choice, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's quite all right.
Yeah. Go big or stay home, as we say when we're doing Zoom shows. Go big and stay home. number two is Courtney Cox. Mm-hmm. And number one for the motion picture Scream is Drew Barrymore.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
Wow.
It just feels so good.
Nice job.
Yeah. Wow. That 3 points makes Steve our winner today.
What?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we're all winners. We made new friends. And I'm very excited to have met you all. And I think that makes us all winners.
Yeah. The listeners are winners too, because they have a new podcast to listen to called Off Book. If they're not already listening, a lot of them are probably already listening. And then 12 Hour Shift, the writing, directing of Bria Grant. And in a couple weeks, October 16th, what's his name? What's it called again? The opening act. The opening
the
act.
The opening act, yes. Yeah.
Opening act. And thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. That was super fun. And, you know, if you go on any other movie trivia shows, don't sell yourself short. You all knew something.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. Even though I lost, I have a newfound sense of confidence right now. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah, same. And also I'm like, right, it's time to watch scary movies.
Yeah, that's what I also decided to do with that game, is just sort of kick off, hey, it's October, let's start watching and talking about scary movies like we haven't already been doing that for like the last 5 or 6 months. I haven't fallen into that yet. I haven't watched any like Contagion type movies on purpose. I tend to go the other way. But you still find parallels with with what's going on in so many movies. Do each of you, could you quickly tell me a recommendation of a movie for people to watch they could just access via streaming or something?
I would suggest 12 Hour Shift, only because
I like where this is going.
as soon as I get off here, I'm going to go to iTunes and rent it, and I'll watch it tonight. So I'm pretty excited because I have the night free, and after hearing the ringing endorsement, I think that's how I'm going to spend my evening, and a good way to kick off October.
I'd like to do a follow-up interview with you about this.
Yeah.
usually the guests usually don't pledge to immediately go see one of the other guests' movies, and I really appreciate that.
I will do it.
I'm going to make sure you do it.
If I go on a whole bunch of podcasts, then eventually a lot of people will see my movie if we can always get the guests to pledge to watch the movie afterwards.
That's a great way to build up the box office.
I literally just rented it.
Because everybody has a podcast now.
Yes, really exactly. True.
Well, thank you so much. We're out of time. It worked out. It came to down to the wire perfectly. Oh, I should plug that you can find me on Cameo and Patreon and wherever Dougs are sold. I end every episode with the last line from a motion picture. You don't have to guess anymore. The guessing is over. As always, except maybe I wouldn't name our son Elvis.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in it.